you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9.
Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. That's Nehemiah 8, verse 9.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 20th, 2024, continuing our study through the book of Nehemiah. But first, a shout out. We're getting closer to our audience of one happening at the Virginia Theater on the 29th, Sunday night, September 29th. Doors open at 5:15, and the formal program begins at 6 o'clock. It's called An Evening of Praise and Worship. And so it's going to be a phenomenal time to gather many different churches, many different people together with one purpose in mind, and that's our call to praise and worship. So no tickets needed. There will be a love offering, but come, bring your friends, family members. It's going to be a celebratory time as we worship the Lord, have a message on unity, and see what happens when 1,000+ of us gather to worship him. So Sunday night, September 29th, you can find out more at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Click on the Audience of One caption and all the information's right there. And please sign up if you haven't. It'll help us with numbers and preparation for materials that we'll be handing out. So I hope you can join us Sunday night, September 29th. As we continue our study with the book of Nehemiah, that was Tad Jagish opening up verse 9 of chapter 8. And that's where we left off last week, that the people, as God's word was declared and read and talked about and shared, it caused conviction of their heart. It caused an increase of understanding of who God is and what his rules are and what his desire is for mankind, for the people. Men and women, children, all had gathered to hear the reading of God's word, and it had a powerful impact. And I hope today's study and your reading of the word, maybe this weekend or even this day, will have that same powerful impact on you. Pastor Jason Schiffel will facilitate our discussion with our room of friends that return to the guitar and Cadillac studio in Mohammed. It's our second time of recording here, and we appreciate Jim Gunther and his fabulous accommodations. I think we have 14 microphones set up, and so we all have our mics, and I had comments from last week of how clear the sound was, and I think you'll really appreciate how clear it is. I know we had some challenges in the past, but with everyone having a microphone, you should hear us really clearly today.
All right, we're in the book of Nehemiah. We're in chapter 8. If you are a first-time listener to this book study that we're doing through Nehemiah, go back to last week's program and you'll hear the first half of Nehemiah chapter 8. It'll help you catch up and give you some context to where we're at today. Tad opened up and he read with verse 9. And the heading from my Bible, the English Standard Version, is, "This day is holy." Now, this is interesting because verse 8, it says, they read from the book of the law of God. So this is Ezra standing up on this wooden platform that was made for the purpose of reading the book of the law, reading God's word to the people. From morning until midday, the people, all the people, men, women, and children, everybody who could understand gathered to hear this word being read. And they read from the book of the law of God clearly, because we need to clearly read from the book of the law so the people can clearly understand what God is doing and saying into their lives through his word. And they gave a sense so that all the people understood the reading. So all the people understand the reading. He's reading the book of the law. He's reading the word of God, the first five books of the Bible, and the people understand. Now, to give us some context to help us to know what's going on here, does anybody remember what this season is in the life of the people of Israel? Does anybody remember? We talked about this a few weeks ago when we gathered together.
Just came back from Babylon.
Okay, they just came back from Babylon. But in the life of the people of Israel, what season is this?
They were now going to establish the worship again.
Okay, worship, yep. And they also, this moment of establishing the worship, this moment that this is happening during what would be the timeline for the fall feasts and festivals. as prescribed by the Bible. So the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all of those things. Now, does anybody know anything about the Day of Atonement? Do you know what the Day of Atonement is about? Can anybody explain it for us?
That's the time where all of the sins are covered. All year long, people have been bringing their sins to the temple and confessing and sacrificing, and the sins are collecting in the most holy place. And once a year, they take them all out, and they say, now we're starting over again. Clean slate, all the sins have been paid for and taken care of.
Okay, and Sharon, you had something I think you wanted to say?
No.
Okay, I saw you lean in, so I thought maybe.
Oh.
Okay. And so, Ted, you're right. We actually see it in Leviticus chapter 16. So Leviticus chapter 16 may have been something that Ezra was reading about how the priests would purify themselves, and they would take this goat. They call it the scapegoat, the Azazel. And the people would lay their hands upon the scapegoat, and they would impute their sins. They would declare their sins over the goat, and then they would send the goat out into the wilderness. It was this very physical, visceral act of declaring all the things that are keeping us from God, and we want to send it out into the wilderness. All the ways that they haven't followed God before. Maybe Ezra read them from Leviticus chapter 19, which comes almost right after the Day of Atonement in the scripture, which is called the Laws of Holiness, where it says things like don't steal, don't act deceptively or lie to one another, do not swear falsely or profane the name of God, do not oppress your neighbor or rob him. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Fear the Lord your God. Do not act unjustly when deciding a case. Do not be impartial or partial to the poor. Do not slander other people. Do not harbor hatred for your brother. And so on and so forth. Maybe Ezra is reading this and the people are like, oh my gosh, I've done that. I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that in God's sight that was something that I should not do.
Yeah, I think the Holy Spirit was really working there. Elmer said last time that it was clearly a work of the Holy Spirit for the people to stand there for 6 hours and listen to this, but I'm also thinking they're under conviction. Something he's reading is really striking home with them, and they're starting to weep, going, wow, how have we messed up so bad so long? So they're under conviction, and I'm thinking they didn't have to do anything to prepare for this. They just showed up with a willing heart, and the Spirit took it from there.
When was the last time you wept reading the Word of God? Because it's doing a work in your heart. Because to your point, Ted, that's what happens here, right? Because Ezra's going to say, don't mourn or weep. But what did Paul say concerning his sin? What did he say when he wrote to the people? He said, of the sinners, I am
the chief.
You know why he said that? Because the closer we get to God, the more apparent our sin is. The closer we get to a holy God, the more apparent our unholy nature and actions are. So much so that Paul said that he wept over his sin, that it broke his heart. Because the closer he got to God, the more he realized that he wasn't worthy to be near God. And yet God had called him to come near to him. What a grace. That's why the title of this is This Day is Holy. Because as these unholy people are encountering a holy God through his word, they begin to mourn and they begin to weep. And what does Ezra say to them? This is such a beautiful moment, by the way. What does Ezra say?
Do not mourn or weep.
Yeah. Instead, he's going to tell them to go and celebrate. You know why? Because they are meeting with God. This is a moment of celebration. I was talking with some guys, we got together for coffee, and we were looking at Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 earlier last week. And we were talking about how in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't understand why I keep doing these things. And it builds a head of steam, right? Because towards the end of chapter 7, he says, what a wretched man am I, who can deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers me what? The scripture says daily. And then it segues into chapter 8 and it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that scripture is saying to us is this. One of the things, it's saying many things. One of the things that scripture is saying to us is this. As you're in the process of following God, God is going to root some things out of you. And when he roots those things out of you, you are going to feel like you are a failure. You are going to feel like you are not doing it. But you need to push back against that condemning voice and say, thanks be to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers me daily. Because every single one of my failures before God is an opportunity where God meets me and redeems me and lifts me up, and we get to the work of working on that thing, right? How many times as Christians have we thought, have we stopped at our failure and not celebrated the fact that in the midst of our failure, God is meeting us to work on that failure?
And that concept, when I am weak, he is strong. And how many times when we have to lean into Jesus, recognizing we need a Savior, how healthy that is, because otherwise we start getting prideful, judgmental, pharisaical. We look at people and then we start holding different standards for them because we maybe have achieved a decent day or something. And that's always a danger point.
And these people have lost sight of God, right? They allowed the walls to stay broken down. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't hear the word of God. They didn't worship God. They didn't do any of those. These people, for 100 years, they've lost sight of God. And here they meet God again. And the first thing they do is they begin to mourn and weep because they realize what has been missing. And Ezra says to them, I realize that you're sad about this. I realize that you're broken about this. But you need to celebrate this. You need to celebrate that God is here and he has met you, that he has redeemed you, that he has resurrected those walls, but not just the walls. Remember, he's rebuilding what?
The people.
The people.
You know how, Jason, many times these are layered, or they're a picture of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament things that are happening. And I think about Jesus when people were looking at him, and he said, when the disciples are with the bridegroom, basically, when they're with Jesus, that is times to celebrate, but there will be dark times ahead, times when he's taken away, where they'll be on their own, and they won't be celebrating.
Yeah. And so it says in verse 10, would somebody read verse 10 for me? And 11.
Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve.
I'm a big proponent of when things in Scripture are repeated, because I think that that's God's exclamation point to us. So when you see things being said over and over again in a very short span of time, I think our ears need to perk up. Is there any word in there that keeps repeating?
Do not grieve.
Do not grieve. Do not grieve. Why? He tells them, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He says you need to take joy in what the Lord has done. See, what we can subtly do sometimes is in our failures, we can become so wrapped up in our failures that all of a sudden our world becomes all about us and we lose sight of the Lord. Here, he says, no. Don't lose sight of the Lord, because he is your strength. He's your strength. He and him alone. He's the one who rebuilt these walls. He's the one who rebuilt this people. He's the one who called this worship service. He's the one who broke your heart as you heard the word. And he's the one who's calling this celebration. By the way, I love the celebration, right? My Bible says this, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine. That means they're having bacon. Just kidding. But eat the fat, drink the wine. And then he says this, send some to anybody who doesn't have any. Why do you think that it says that? Anybody?
Well, that hospitality, that sharing with one another.
Yeah. Everybody's invited to the party. Mm-hmm. If you want a gospel moment, there it is right there. Anybody in here celebrate the fact that the Lord loves you and you get to follow him? Anybody? If you do, say yes.
Yes.
Who are you inviting to the party?
Good question.
Who are you inviting to the party?
Our neighbor.
Because you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to eat the fat and drink the sweet wine alone. You need to invite everybody to the party. That's what it says here. Everybody needs to know that this day is holy to our Lord, and to not be grieved, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I love this. So the Levites calmed all the people. That means, once again, these guys went around to all the people and said, it's okay. It's all right. Hey, the Lord loves you. He's your strength. And do not be grieved. And then it says this. They obeyed. By the way, when you call a party, people obey really quick. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words declared to them.
You know, I'm thinking, Jason, so many people say, well, the God of the Old Testament was so harsh in this way and that way. And yet here it's a celebratory time of rejoicing and praising and worshiping him.
Yeah, the God of the Old Testament gets a bad rap. Yeah. Because there's times when he appears in thunder and lightning and all of those things. But listen, he appears in those different ways because he's calling people to himself. He's calling them out from where they were to him. And sometimes that does seem harsh. Listen, Romans chapter 7 says, it talks about the fact that when we accept Christ, we need to accept the fact that we're going to suffer with him. And when I was with this group of guys last week and we were talking about this, we all started to reevaluate evangelism because I haven't been to the revival where the guy says, who wants to accept Jesus? Anyone want to suffer? Who wants hardship? I mean, I always hear the revival is always streets of gold and da-da-da-da-da. No, I've never been to it, but I read about a revival like the one that I'm talking about in the Bible where it says Jesus shared a hard word and many left him. Because the reality of following Jesus is that sometimes it is really difficult and sometimes it is really hard. But here's the good news. You get to do the hard and the difficult with Jesus. I don't know how the people do hard, because hard and difficult exists no matter what. And I don't know how you do the hard and difficult when you don't do it with Jesus. I don't know how you do it. And so the God of the Old Testament might get a bad rap, but here he's calling a party. So I'm pretty sure the God of the Old Testament has a side of him that goes, let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. By the way, when I read this text right here, this sounds no different than the prodigal son, does it? Mm-hmm. Let's get the fattened calf. Let's get out the best wine. Call all the people. Why? Because this son of mine was gone and now he is home again. He was dead and now he is alive.
Jason, I'm just feeling like there's probably people tuned in right now that are far from God. They've messed up. They've sinned. They've fallen far short, which all of us have. But they feel especially condemnation or there's no turning back to God because they've crossed the line. What would you say to them? Because the God that we know, the God that forgives our sins as we accept Jesus, what he did on the cross for us, he died for our sins. What would you say to that person that just says, Jason, you don't know my story. I've really done these bad things. Is there hope?
First thing I would say is this. I don't know your story, but I'd love to hear it. Second is, there are people somewhere whose story is very much like your story. The more we talk to one another, the more we learn that we're not that far apart, actually. That all of us have some bits of each other's stories in our life. The second thing I would say is that Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And so we have a very real enemy who loves to use the condemnation that we often speak to ourselves against us. Who wants us to live in condemnation and guilt and shame. Because whenever we're in those things, we're focused on that instead of Jesus. And so we've all messed up. We've all gone far from God. And God, like in the prodigal son, is the same God who runs to the one who returns home. And so to the person who's listening in that context, Mark, I would say this. Start back home. Because when you start back home, the God who desires you to come home runs towards you. Mm. In fact, I have to believe he covers more than half the distance before he even meets you because he's so overjoyed in your return. And everybody who hears this right now is ripe for a comeback, to come back into the presence of God. There isn't anyone who isn't allowed. There isn't anyone who isn't invited. The party is for everyone.
And senior saint, that includes you, those of us that follow Jesus, that do our best each and every day. We all fall short. None of us measure up. And so this might be just a turning point for you today to seek the Lord, and he will be found. It says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Seek after him today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. We all commit sins each and every day. It might not be like we killed somebody, but it could be impure thoughts. It might be coarse joking. It could be a variety of things. But God is a God of forgiveness, of redemption. And Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. He died on the cross. He shed his blood because he extended God's love to all of us. None of us can measure up. None of us can earn our way into heaven. We can't live the right way, and that makes us in. It's because of what Jesus did on our behalf. So call on Jesus today. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And if there's a stirring in your heart and you feel like that's what you need to do, seek out Pastor Jason Schiffo. Seek out a good Bible-believing church, or you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's trained counselors that'll answer your questions about the Bible. Who is Jesus? Can you really trust God? Does he have your best interest in mind? They'll talk with you and they'll pray with you. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Another opportunity to meet with God is coming up in 9 days at our Audience of One. That's where we're going to gather and celebrate the good God that we get to serve. We're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. There'll be a message about what a great God that desires all of us to know him and come to him. So you're invited. There's no cost. And that'll be happening on the 29th, that's Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. And you don't need tickets, but if you wanted to RSVP, that would help. Just go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see the Audience of One link, and just click on it, and you can just fill in your name and email, and there's a couple other questions. But we'd love to have you, because we want to do what Nehemiah does. We want to pray, and yet we want to worship and pray this great God who's working throughout all eternity for our best interest, to be with him, to be that prodigal father that will seek after you, and he sought after me, and we get to experience that love that only he can show us. Deep down, he can meet our needs. And thank you, Pastor Jason, for facilitating this discussion through Nehemiah. We've been doing this for many weeks, and all these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab, so you can get caught up on the message. Or maybe there's a stirring in your heart and you know of somebody today that needs to hear what was conveyed and shared. You can right-click on the link and paste it into an email and send it on to a friend. But I would encourage you to be in church this Sunday. Pastor Jason Schiffo serves at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and there's many faithful, gifted pastors that are proclaiming God's word each and every Sunday. So we'd encourage you to attend a church and be with other like-minded believers. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.